easeful. And as you begin to arrive, let yourself begin to notice what's here. What's here in this moment? Maybe there's some tension in the body, a restlessness or fidgeting. Maybe there's a sense of ease. Or expansiveness. So just taking a first pass at noticing what the body is experiencing, what the body is holding. And checking in with the quality of mind that's here. Maybe the mind is still gnawing on some unfinished task from the morning. Maybe there's a bubbling of thoughts about what might come later in the day. Just allowing, first checking in with just the energy of the mind. Agitated or calm, distracted or focused, and also checking in with the heart. With the emotional realm. tuning in to any particular feelings that might be washing through you, any background mood that might be flavoring the moment. Maybe a nervousness or a lingering worry. Flash of irritation. A sense of peace. Or maybe just the possibility of peace. And whatever you're meeting in this moment of your experience, in the body, in the mind, in the heart, can you meet what's here with quality of welcome? With a friendliness. Oh, it's like this. Just like this. Including whatever's here, because it's already here. And inviting a deeper settling, a deeper connection with the body. Letting the warmth of your awareness wash through the body. With the same gentle presence that a warm sunbeam might offer to the body. Letting the warm sunbeam of your awareness begin at the crown of the head and gently filter down through the entire body, slowly, softly, through head and muscles of the face. Relaxing through the thought muscle, through the brain. There's nothing to do, nothing to fix or change or figure out during this precious practice opportunity. So inviting the brain to soften. And the jaw. And the throat. Melting your awareness down through shoulders. Arms, and hands, inviting, a releasing, and a relaxing as the warm sunbeam of your awareness moves through torso, back, and belly. Settling through hips and thighs, knees, and lower legs. Letting your awareness wash through feet and toes. Almost a sensation as if you were nesting toes into warm sand. Feeling feet upon the earth. Feeling any touch points where the body is in contact with the ground. Letting your earth body rest on the earth. feeling the earth's solidity, stability. Letting the earth hold you. Letting any unnecessary efforting in your posture letting it dissolve and dissipate as you rest more deeply. Into the foundation of earth beneath you. And if it supports you in connecting more fully with a felt sense of earth, you might also call to mind an image of earth. It might be the Rocky Mountains, the broad sweep of the Front Range. Maybe it's one particular peak that really speaks to your heart. Or it might be a stretch of a particular trail, the intimacy of the earth up close. Maybe a particular rock that you could lie your body upon. So letting the image or the felt sense be just the right scope or scale that's most nourishing to you. And really feeling the groundedness, the strength, the solidity of Earth and letting the earth be a mirror for these capacities that lie within you as well. Stability, resilience, balance, equanimity, our mirror neurons can work this way. Earth mirroring earth. Durable, grounded, steadfast, resilient, if you resonate with any of these qualities being related to Earth, know that we only recognize out in the world that which we somehow know. So the reason you can see this reflected in the earth is because these qualities somehow, even in their most nascent form, are already within you. and the earth weathers all kinds of storms and seasons. Spring and winter, back to spring, winter again. And there's this quality of endurance, strength, stability. And we too have the capacity to weather internal and external storms. We aren't separate from Earth. We are Earth. We share this resilience. So just resting for a few minutes. Earth body resting on earth. Enjoying this shared resonance. Perhaps taking a slightly deeper breath. Maybe gifting this earth body some very gentle movement, a little bit of a stretch as we gradually let go of the formal practice. Letting your awareness, perhaps your gaze, gradually open back out into to the space where you are, and bringing your body with you back to the screen. Lovely to see a few more folks who appeared. And for those who joined, once again, happy Earth Day. And I thought I would just share a few brief reflections on practice, on in the midst of all of this, I thought, oh, how sweet. It's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. And we're in the midst of this ongoing global pandemic. And like the virus, too, is part of this ecosystem, you know, ecosystem. And it's like all of this is here. And how do we hold it? And how can our practice hold us? So I thought I'd actually tie a thread in from last week. For those of you who were here, part of what I talked about was beauty. And I thought that beauty was a really nice theme to continue with for the full spectrum of what's happening. And last week, there was this question I had pulled in from the Greater Good Science Center and these daily questions to ask yourself in quarantine, which was, what beauty am I either creating, cultivating, or inviting in? And I was thinking a lot about beauty this morning. I got up early and went for a walk to touch the earth. And it really struck me that today, this sense of just being bathed in beauty that's already here. No cultivation, calling in, creation required. It's already here. And, you know, there was a expansive sky and meadowlarks and prairie dogs and a open space field full of cows and calves that were running and playing. And there was just so much joy and delight for this heart to just be in the presence of nature and to feel the gift, really, that we're given. And I was also reflecting on Earth Day. The other piece that rose up was this sense of with the great gift of beauty, comes a responsibility, is what it felt like, a responsibility to lovingly tend this great gift. And responsibility can feel like a really heavy word. And as I was reflecting on it, what feels true is that actually in the space of beauty, it's actually quite an easeful bridge to responsibility. And it was really fun. I pulled off one of our great teachers of the natural world and receiving beauty is Mary Oliver, as many of you probably know. And I have many Mary Oliver books. And I pulled one off my shelf at random. And I opened the book. And this is the poem. I'm going to read you at least a chunk of it. Because I love this, the synchronicity. The poem's entitled Beauty, which was already in my mind. And it goes like this. When the owl, on her plush and soundless wings, rises from the black waves of the oak leaves, or floats out of the needles of the pines that are moaning, that are tossing, I think, oh, she is beautiful. With her eyes like burning moons, with her feet like twisted braids of old gold flexing and curling. And I am glad to see her. Some wild loyalty has me to the root of the heart. Even when she ruffles down into the field and jabs like a mad thing, and it's hopeless, it's also wonderful. So I thank whatever made her. And for me, when I think of relating to the earth and what this balance of beauty and responsibility is, it's this wild loyalty that grabs my heart. And what naturally arises is gratitude, to just want to thank her, to thank what made her, and to not harm her. It feels like non-harming is the next step in the cascade from beauty to love to loyalty to gratitude to care. And so, you know, that's sort of what I'm holding today. And, you know, I was thinking, I also just came out of a board meeting. I'm on the board for the Rocky Mountain Ecodharma Retreat Center up in Ward, Colorado. And, you know, part of our mission is to connect people with practice in nature, you know, and the teaching there, and also how to recognize our interdependence, you know, that we are not separate from Earth. We are the Earth. And, you know, how we, you know, treat her is ultimately how we treat ourselves. So it's like this interdependence invites a reflection on what would be, you know, kind, non-harming, skillful action in the care of her, this planet, this magnificent planet. And I also sat, this is all just coming out of like, where was I today? So I sat a meditation this morning with a teacher that I really love, Gil Fronsdal, and he also, you know, talked about beauty. I thought, okay, beauty's just in the field today. And it's where we're going because it's where we are. And one of the things that he reminded me of, which I've always loved, there's a word in Pali. Pali is the language, the ancient language from the time of the Buddha. There's a word that some of you may know, Kalyana. And Kalyana in the Pali Dictionary, the first translation of it is beauty. And there's a couple places that this word shows up in the teachings that I really love because it ties in with this. One of them is around action. So a word that's sometimes translated as action in the Pali language is kama or karma. And there's this phrase, kalyana kama, which is often translated good action, good or bad. But I really love what happens if we use the translation beautiful. Like, what is the beautiful action? What's the beautiful action in relationship to how we care for ourselves, each other, and the earth? So I really sort of like bringing in this quality of beauty in this way. And so I just offer that for food for thought. And one of the other pieces that also revisited me today, and it's long, so I don't know that I'll read the whole piece, but some of you may have seen this. It's been going around the internet. And I'm thinking about, you know, beauty, beautiful action, stewardship of the earth, interconnectedness, and the fact that we're living in a pandemic. How can this all be? And there's this amazing piece that's been going around by Kristen Flintz. It's called Letter from COVID-19 to Humans. Have you guys heard this? Okay, I might just have to read it to you, and then, because it's so powerful. Stop. Just stop. It is no longer a request. It is a mandate. We will help you. We will bring the supersonic high-speed merry-go-round to a halt. We will stop the planes, the trains, the schools, the malls, the meetings, the frenetic, furied rush of illusions and obligations that keep you from hearing our single and shared beating heart, the way we breathe together in unison. Our obligation is to each other, as it has always been, even if, even though, you have forgotten. We will interrupt this broadcast, the endless cacophonous broadcast of divisions and distractions, to bring you this long breaking news. We are not well. None of us, all of us are suffering. Last year, the firestorms that scorched the lungs of the earth did not give you pause. Nor the typhoons in Africa, China, Japan, nor the fevered climates in Japan and India. You have not been listening. It is hard to listen when you are so busy all the time, hustling to uphold the comforts and conveniences that scaffold your lives. But the foundation is giving way, buckling under the weight of your needs and desires. We will help you. We will bring the firestorms to your body. We will bring the fever to your body. We will bring the burning, searing, and flooding to your lungs that you might hear. We are not well. Despite what you might think or feel, we are not the enemy. We are messenger. We are ally. We are a balancing force. We are asking you to stop, to be still, to listen, to move beyond your individual concerns and consider the concerns of all, to be with your ignorance, to find your humility, to relinquish your thinking minds and travel deep into the mind, the heart, to look up into the sky streaked with fewer planes and see it, to notice its condition, clear, smoky, smoggy, rainy. How much do you need it to be healthy so that you may also be healthy? To look at a tree, to see it, to notice its condition. How does its health contribute to the health of the sky, to the air you need to be healthy? To visit a river and see it, to notice its condition. Clear, clean, murky, polluted. How much do you need it to be healthy, so that you may also be healthy? How does its health contribute to the health of the tree, who contributes to the health of the sky, so that you may also be healthy? Many are afraid now. Do not demonize your fear, and also do not let it rule you. Instead, let it speak to you in your stillness. Listen for its wisdom. What might it be telling you about what is at work, at issue, at risk, beyond the threats of personal inconvenience and illness? As the health of a tree, a river, the sky tells you about the quality of your own health, What might the quality of your health tell you about the health of the rivers, the trees, the sky, and all of us who share this planet with you? Stop. Notice if you are resisting. Notice what you are resisting. Ask why. Stop. Just stop. Be still. Listen. Ask us what we might teach you about illness and healing, about what might be required so that all may be well. We will help you if you listen. So just adding the fullness of this into the mix, beauty and action, and this profound learning edge in the midst of the unprecedented in our lifetime. So I'm curious, and we're a relatively small group today, so I might just see if anyone wants to share any reflections, anything that's moving through your heart about beauty, Earth Day, you know, gratitude, care. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Anybody else? Beautiful. Yeah. And this is something, I mean, we can carry, you know, we can customize our practice and we can let nature be a nourishment for us. Anybody else? Anything the heart wants to express? Hi, Jaina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hi, Julie. That's okay. We can hear your voice. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Julie. So what I might leave you with is, if it speaks to you, this playing with an invitation to explore. What's the beautiful action if that speaks to you? You know, it's not about being good or right, but what's beautiful? And one of the other places that that word kalyana, beauty, shows up is connected to another word. Metta, kalyanamitta, it's often translated as good spiritual friend, but I like translating it as beautiful, beautiful friend. And it feels like us gathering each week like this is gathering in a field with beautiful friends. I love the image behind you, Gabriela, with your field of wildflowers up at Caribou Ranch. And here we are, you know, these flowers, these hearts and minds that actually have the potential to perhaps feed that kind of shift that you were talking about, Julie, a shift where we care for the earth or we relate to nature in a different way. And maybe this remembering that we actually are nature. Nature's not out there. We're embedded in nature and this interdependence. And this shared goodness of heart is part of that transformation. So, may each of you walk in beauty, that beautiful Navajo blessing that is sometimes quoted. May you walk in beauty today. May you enjoy the earth. May all beings walk in beauty, and may our beautiful earth, really be nourished by this deep pause that we are all taking. And may she teach us, and may we be good students. So take such good care. I'm so delighted to have been with each of you, and I hope you can come back. We'll be here again next week. So, yeah, take good care. Bye. Bye, everyone.